Straya, we're back. Hey, yarn. That's right. It's Monday. Oh, Monday, bro. November 30. It's a lovely day outside in Melbourne, Australia. You can walk around without a mask. What a world. Anyway, I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Reb, Bull Mag, and literally whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet walking round stuff, that booze money. Here in Larry Armour Studios, only surrounded today by apparently one empty bowl, some Cadbury favourites, and a bunch of other shit that old mate has just left lying around. Oh, that's a packet of snacks over there. Awesome. Anyway, we are just giving you the lowdown on an NBA offseason that's just gone from crazy to pretty chill in record time. And we're repping Straya. That's what we do. That's what we do here on NBA Australia in a surprise twist. So, the season starts, like, this week. Well, training camp and shit, so that's cool. So, free agency is basically done. We're going to look back at all the moves that have happened in the last week and wrap everything up in a nice little bow, basically. We did winners and losers last week. We're going to do top five teams, off-seasons I liked, and top five I didn't like. Because it's top five seasons, what we do. So, that'll be lots of fun. And then we're just going to start previewing the season as of the next show. Oh, geez. And of course, we've got some yeah-nahs. We've got the unpopular opinion of the day, and we've got our back take house, where we're serving up a flame-grilled take. We'll also peep the new Big W Gazy Grey Mamba Ones in the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. They arrived in the post. Andrew Gaze shoes. Awesome. We'll check out some season odds as well. We'll see if the betting lines have moved with all the free agency schmozzle. So we'll also finish up with a brand new Deli review, which would be interesting considering he's got a new housemate. Love that. And lots of stuff. So let's get to it, shall we? NBA Straya episode 511. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better watch out for the Jake Paul attack. Jesus, if you're Nate Robinson. Woo boy, did Nate get knocked the fuck out. He got knocked the fuck out. Jesus, that was a tough scene for poor little Nate. More tough might have been the punking he got online from everybody under the sun for getting knocked the fuck out by a YouTube star. Oh boy. I mean, at least the Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr. fight was, whatever. Nate. Miss you, buddy. Jumping over, you know. Dwight Howard and whatnot. Anyway, let's start off today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Straya. What do you reckon about that? No, not with the bong. The daily whip around. That's right. The fucking season starts soon. As I mentioned earlier at the top of the show, training camps are opening basically this week, which is crazy. They are meant to open December 1, according to the NBA. The thing is, with the COVID restrictions being brought in by the NBA, they're trying to be as stringent as they possibly can. Players are going to be back in their actual, you know, team home markets as of this past weekend, so they can actually start on time with December 1 or the practices around December 4, which is when full team practices are meant to kick off. But they'll need the required 3 negative tests prior to beginning practices. So pretty much everybody needs to be back in market and testing negative for you to get out there and actually having full team practices. So it's pretty weird. The first group practice sessions probably wait until December 4, but it seems like there's a lot of actual other movement you can do when you get in there. You can do some learning. You can do some individual workouts and whatnot, which is nice, I guess. And the cool part is this snitch line is back. Yep. Anonymous hotline to report violations of the COVID safety protocols is back. The snitch line, hello police. I saw LeBron having a pool party with no masks on. That is not a violation, Chris Paul. Oh, come on, man. Just want to win a title. So preseason actually is kicking off as well. December 11. All the schedules out at the moment. The teams are sort of, they're playing between 2 to 4 games each, which seems about right for preseason because, look, having sat through shitty preseason games before with our Nets season tickets, you're like, oh, that's neat. They're playing Maccabi Tel Aviv. And then you're like, oh, well, actually, most of their starters have sat after the first 12 minutes, and that's about it. So it's pretty much a lot of their G League guys and two-way dudes getting some run. And it's also a bit of a shame because you don't get the old NBL NBA like we did a couple of years ago. That was fun. Yeah. Anyway, so 49 total games. It'll run till December 19. Don't forget, the actual bloody season starts December 22. So you've only got a tiny little run of Pracco games, which is good and smart. Because to be honest, they use the start of the season to get right back up to speed anyway. And what do you need more of? You need more than 4 games to go, all right, now I can, basically I've got my wind. Let's go. And if you're one of the teams that was in the bubble, shit, maybe you should be ready. The G League is going to have a bubble, they reckon. They're going to have an Atlanta bubble for about a month, which I can see absolutely no problems with, except for all of the problems. Go get some of those Lou Will chicken wings. Woo! Tell you what, that'd be fun. No, Atlanta's an awesome city. Enjoyed it immensely. Great bars. Snuck into a show there. Went to a college football game, an actual NFL game, and just basically caused havoc. Ate like fucking kings, drank just way too much. Snuck into a hilarious country show. I don't know, it was awesome. Love Atlanta, but boy, you can get up to a lot of trouble there, even if you're in the G League. So this is going to be like a weird one where they're going to do a truncated bubble where the G League teams want to play about 12 games each. That might go up to 15 to 16 games, as well as a playoff schedule for the G League. So basically, this would mean that they're on a campus again, and you've got like a little mini bubble, basically, for the G League. You'd have mandated quarantine for the actual players. You'd have daily testing, which is pretty cool and pretty interesting for the dudes like Will Magnay, who's now in the bloody NBA on a two-week. We'll get to that. We'll get to all the free agency stuff. But the G League, look, it looked pretty dubious there for a while as to whether or not it actually happened, because you're like, well, what's the fucking point? It's the G League, man. And then you're like, oh, the NBA have poured millions upon millions upon millions into creating their own team there to steal players away from college. And if in the first year of doing so, none of them get to bloody play and showcase their, you know, five-star recruit skills in front of NBA teams playing actual fucking games of basketball, then it would have been an absolute non-starter. So you can bet your bottom dollar that the NBA will be trying to make sure that happens. And the other thing was the Hall of Fame has pushed back their induction ceremony for Kobe, Timmy Duncan, KG, Rudy Tomjanovich, Tamika Catchings. Who else is there? Kim Mulkey? A couple of other dudes, a couple of other ladies. To May, that's fine. Cool. I'm happy because that'll be actually happening during the season when everyone's like super psyched for it, provided the season's still going. And look, the Wizards took the very chill, very smart, very, this is 100% needed step of coming out and saying that, yeah, we have no plans to trade John Wall, which is definitely what smart, on top of their shit franchises have to do all the time, come out and say that they're not trading their superstar. Morons. Right. But the big important shit from the last week. Right, so apologies for not having a show last week, like I basically alluded to. I was going to do a Friday show, but the squid was in hospital last week, which fucking sucked. Would not recommend having your fucking less than 2-year-old going to the hospital and staying overnight. Wheezy asthma. Turns out it was. Luckily, I took him to the doctor, and she's like, right, reckon you should take him to the hospital. They'll run more tests. And so we did. He's all right now. It was right as rain after about a day. Just, you know, fucking scary, man. Going into the hospital with your squid. Not fun. Not cool. And the poor bugger. Look, the COVID rules and everything are obviously in place to, you know, make sure everyone's nice and safe. But the fact that I couldn't be there as well as old mate at the same time in the room with him was a bit fucked. But look, we survived. He survived. We're all good. He's fine. Takes his puffer like a fucking champ. I had to point out to the fucking nurses, they're like, oh, he takes his puffer amazingly using his spacer. And I'm like, fuck, man, when I had asthma when I was a kid, I couldn't even use a spacer. And this little bugger's fucking less than 2 years old. What a legend. In a surprise twist, he's already smarter than his dad. But yeah, so thanks for the very nice messages I got from folks out there as well about the squid. He's all good. But obviously it just meant I couldn't do a show because I was looking after him 24/7 for the rest of last week. So yeah, anyway, we're back now. He's back at daycare. He's crushing it. He's all good. So the big news that popped off obviously in that time is that we have a bunch more Aussies officially back and signed in the NBA. Starting with friend of the program, friend of the show, recurring guest, Ryan Rowdy Brockoff, the fucking pride of Franger, has re-signed with the Philadelphia 76ers on a one-year deal, which is great. As I said when he signed with them prior to the bubble, great fit, great spot, catching Simo passes, dropping threes, he can shoot the shit out of the ball. And look, if he can actually land a guaranteed contract, impress Doc Rivers, that'd be awesome. Because look, in terms of big wings that can shoot, the Sixers have got Tobias Harris, Mike Scott, and that's about it. So if they could just roll Rowdy out there on the odd occasion, get him dropping three bombs, boom! I reckon Doc Rivers would fucking love it. It's like, holy shit, what's tall Australian JJ Redick doing? Get him, Rowdy! Kung Fu Thon, 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 Thon has joined King Daly and Dante Sex Him Up in Cleveland. That's right, Stephen A. Smith, in Cleveland.
Cleveland!
Unbelievable scenes. Look, it looks like it's a one-year minimum deal at the moment, turning the Cleveland Cavaliers into the Cleveland Canberra Cannon Cavaliers, which I fucking love. But Daly obviously signed back up with the Cavs. Sexton was already there. Now Kung Fu Thon joins them as well. One-year minimum. Look, it looks like it's a training camp minimum 1 year, give it a shot deal. They do have a lot of bigs on that roster, so here's hoping that Thon actually makes it through this season. And look, I feel like the NBA is going to have the expanded roster, so when we talk about guaranteed deals and stuff heading to training camp, I don't feel like there's going to be as giant a cull as it usually would be heading into a season, because I think they'll keep them nice and expanded. And obviously the really big news, it was Big Willie. Big Willie Magnay from the Brisbane Bullets is signing with the New Orleans Pelicans. He's a Pelican, not a Pelicant. That's right, on a two-way deal, which basically means it will be with the Pelicans because the G League season, as mentioned, is going to involve fuck all travel and only pop off for about a month. So that's great because it means Big Willie Magnay. They've also, I think, pulled away all the restrictions and everything on how much you're basically getting paid when you're up with the ones and everything rather than down with the twos, because you can't really be down with the twos, can you? So this is great for Big Willie Magnay. He gets to stay in the Pelican system, hang out with all the dudes, learn a lot, learn from all the coaches, use their facilities, and not be on the road fucking stuck on the bus between like Long Island or Westchester and shit like that. So good on him. And then when he gets to play in the actual G League for the Pels, they'll have a fun team because they do have a lot of young dudes sort of floating around that system. So that'd be really good for Big Willie. But I love it. That's the second Brisbane Bullet player in the last 4 years to go to the NBA after old mate Torrey Craig. That's fucking sick. Who's now with the Milwaukee Bucks. It's Algonquin for the good land. So there you go. Rowdy Thon, Big Willie, join Joshy Green, Big Simo, Matty T, Jingles, Thrills, Deli, Sexum. Who else we got? Bangers? Oh, just, it's a whole bloody raft of them, isn't it? Loving it. Love it. Sex them, Jesus. So banning year for the Aussies. We'll talk about that later in the NRs. So let's quickly smash through the rest of the signings and trades that we saw. Boston and Charlotte finally finished up the Gordon Hayward Make America Gordon Again deal. Boston sent off Gordy Hayward and 2023 and 2024 second rounders to the Hornets. So they get a 2022 second rounder this year back and the largest trade exception ever. $27.7 million. It's a trade exception with gods. It's huge. Just fucking huge. The best part is how every media member and Boston outlet will fucking froth about this trade exception, talk themselves stupid about it. Who can we get? Dude, who can we get for that trade exception? Dude, what they could do with it, who they could get with it, and then Danny Ainge will never use it. And it's going to be hilarious. Do you think they could get Kevin Love? Ah, fuck off. Anyway, the Jazz, they also sent Ray John Tucker and a future for a second round pick rather to the Cavs for cash. Cavs, I feel like, enjoyed the look of Ray John Tucker. Got the Jazz and bought him. Cool. Not bad. In terms of the max extension signing, so we'll do all the rest of the free agency moves, but the max extension signings, we've got Bam Adebayo and Spindles Ingram, as expected, getting max rookie contract extensions from their teams, the Heaters and the Pels, respectively. They joined De'Aaron Fox, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, which is nice. All of those make sense. And Steven Adams-Brew signed an extension with the Pels when he got traded there. 2 years, an extra $35 million for the giant Kiwi, which I think, does that mean he's probably made most of like New Zealand's entire GDP across his career now? I don't know. You're going to sell a lot of sheep to make that. Boogie has signed with Houston for a year. Nick Batum, after getting bought out by the Charlotte Hornets, is off to the LA Clippers. Yeah, you French bastard. Alex Len, the Ukrainian stepladder, is off to Toronto for another year. Markieff Morris is back to the Lakers on a minimum after his twin brother signed for 4 years, $64 million. How's that as a shot across the bow? Fuck me. You talk about, you know, whenever like, oh yeah, sibling rivalries. What about when you sign for the fucking minimum and your twin brother, not even a younger brother, your fucking twin. It's like, he's me, but better. 4 years, 64. You reckon they still use the same bank account, so it's really only like a four-year, $32 million deal? That's why Keefe's like, oh, I'll just take the minimum, man. That'd be sick. Fucking moron. JJ Barea's back. He's back, baby. With the Mavs, love that. I think that also puts the Mavs at like 16 contracts now, so be a bit of training camp comp, I reckon, there. Dario, the homie Saric, is back with the Phoenix Suns. 3 years, $27 million. Basically, there was no money left, I think, for Dario. And Phoenix were like, we'll give you the mid-level. And he's like, all right. It's no problem. We take 3 years, $27 million. Very good. Now, Sacramento. The big news for them was that they declined the four-year, $72 million offer sheet from the Atlanta Hawks. Kaka for Bogdan Bogdanovic. So Bogdan is now officially going to the Hawks. 4 years, $72 million there. And Sacramento then went, well, we've lost Bogdan. Let's sign Glenn Robinson, Hassan Whiteside, and Frank the Tank Kaminsky. Awesome. How's Frank the Tank? Phoenix are like, nah, we're good. $5 million, nah, fuck off. Remember how Charlotte turned down 4 first rounders for the pick that they used on Frank the Tank? Yeah, that worked out great. Talk about Charlotte later. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is off to the Knicks on a 1 year deal. Tyler Johnson is staying with the Nets because they fucking love Tyler Johnson. 1 year minimum. Which is a bit less than the $50 million they tried to give him last time they signed him. Bruno Caboclo is with the Rockets. Sticks in Houston for a year. Where does that leave him on his timeline of being 2 years away from being 2 years away? Is he bang on? Or is he another year off? What do you reckon? Come on, Bruno. Sauce Castillo. Nick Stauskas. He's back. He's back in Milwaukee from the Euro League. Didn't play in the NBA last year, did Sauce? That's nice. Wayne Ellington is off to Detroit for 1 year until his inevitable buyout. Langston Galloway leaves Detroit, leaves New York, and is now with Phoenix for a year. Nice. Damian Dotson left the Knickerbockers. He's up to the Cavs, 2 year, $4 million deal. Dotson was good in New York. The 2 year, $4 million deal. Look, the Cavs needed more shooting guards, so boom, they got him. You know, they've got Darius Rucker and Garland. They've got the sex man, Colin Sexton. They've got Sexum, Dante Exum. They've got Dally. Now they've got Dotson. Dotson. We got Dotson here. Solomon Hill is off to Atlanta for another year. Noah Vonleh just joined Chicago. Unreal. Zach Norvell Jr. is in Chicago as well. Derek Walton Jr. is in Philly. It's non-guaranteed. Elise Johnson with the Raps and Keelan Martin for Indy. But the big news, quite literally, is Bol Bol. Sticking with Denver, converting his two-way deal into a standard contract, which is nice. And Marco Bellinelli is leaving the NBA after, I think, 13 years, which is like, fucking what? How many years has Bellinelli played in the NBA? That doesn't make any sense. Surely not 13 years. But it's like, yeah, he's like 34. I'm like, fucking since when, bro? But yeah, he's like drafted in like 2007 or fucking something. So good shit. Anyway, Bellinelli, he's off to España. To Spain. No. Italia. Fuck. How did I mangle that? In a surprise twist. Very easily, Jobby. For Virtus Bologna. Love that. Pretty good. Bye-bye, Bellinelli. That's a classic. Yeah, fuck it. I made a bunch of money. Let's go back to... Go hang out in Italy. Be a fucking superstar in my home country. It's going to be the Delhi move next year when he comes and joins the Jack Jumpers. All right, top five season right after this break were the top five teams off seasons I like. The top five seasons I didn't like. Oh, boy. Get ready for some fucking yelling right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey, guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Illy.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
It's top five season. All right, top five season. Woo! Fucking love a good top five. It's been fun as shit doing these as well. So, to really put a bow on this free agency shit and a bit of the off season and some draft stuff, let's do the top five off seasons I liked, the top five seasons I did not like at all, mate. Show. Let's start with five teams that I did like. Honorable mention go to OKC, but I can't put them on here because they're not a team. They're just a theoretical approach, I think, to basketball that's only just draft picks who are like 11-year-old kids playing on fucking, you know, hoops in their backyard at the moment rather than actual NBA players. Like, just think about that actual fucking roster. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Dort, and not much else. The Pelicans! Honorable mention, surrounding Zion with a bunch of youth and picks is the right way to build. I think just, I don't know, I couldn't put him in the top five just because without Jrue, but like they get a massive haul back for him. That's great. I just don't quite like their mix of players as much as I did, but look, they've got a fucking shit ton in the way of assets, and that's the way you build around someone like Zion. Youth, shots in the fucking draft, and away we go. So, number five. Look, I keep flipping and flopping on how much I enjoyed their offseason. And it's the Clippers. The Los Angeles Clippers. That's a boat. They switch out Montrezl Harrell for Serge Ibaka. Serge Ibaka, who's a better defender, better shooter, less of a fucking emotional head case sometimes. He's a mate of Kawhi. Which might be more important than anything. But Montrez, look, I love him. And I'm all for it. It was just a bit of a mess when he came back to the bubble after his grandma's very sad passing away, obviously. But the fact that the Clippers were like, nah, we're good, means that there's some sort of behind-the-scenes shit where you're just like, ah, they don't like that guy, do they? So if you bring in Serge from Montrez, you get rid of that sort of idea on your team of like if Kawhi or Paul George or someone, Ty Lue, who as an assistant coach would probably know this sort of shit better even than a head coach probably, is like, nah, we're good. You bring in Serge, love it. Luke Kennard basically in for Landry Shamwow, more playmaking, more off the bounce shooting. He's way better offensively than Shamwow. Maybe not great defensively, but I mean, ShamWow wasn't much either. That's a great little under-the-radar move, Kennard. Like, we're all fucking... The Duckman, we've all forgotten about it because it happened during the draft. But there you go. He's in Clipperland. You'd be like, fuck, who's that white guy on the Clippers? Ah, the Duckman. That's who it is. Nick Batum, they pick him up for free. I hate the Mook Morris contract. But look, the Clippers obviously traded a first rounder for him. If his combo of shooting and defense is handy for you and he fills the spot, then, I mean, boom. If you think he's more important to keep than Trez, I'm okay with that too. I just don't like the dollars. But, look, basically, as an offseason, the Clippers came out ahead. And when you're punching at the top of the Western Conference, that's fucking massive. So good job for the Clips. Even just the Trez and Ibaka switch, I feel like they're just much more dangerous. Just saying. The Suns are at number four. They get CP3, obviously. They signed Jay Crowder to a very, very sneakily friendly contract. 3 years, 30 mil. They keep the homie Dario Saric for just a tick less money than that. Now they've got a starting lineup of Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Mikal Bridges, Crowder and Ayton. I love it. They've got Galloway, Moore, Cam Johnson, Saric and Smith, Campaign, Carter, Nader, Ilo Kobo. They've just got a nice rounded out roster now. And even though they let bangers go and they overpaid for CP3, I think this could be looked at like a move that unlocks this team. Same as last year with OKC with CP3, right? He's going to be massive for Booker and Ayton. So I think that runs over the top of literally everything else you go with the Suns. But adding Crowder, keeping the homie, I think it's just a really good team now. I think also with CP3, it makes them important. And I just like it when the Suns are good and important. They're a fun franchise when they're not fucking being run into the ground by that dipshit. You know, Sava. But Jesus, I just like it when the Suns are good and important. Number three, similar vibes on this one, the Mavs. Fucking love the Mavs. Swapping out Seth Curry for Josh Richardson. Look, you lose a bit of the shooting, but Josh Richardson can actually fucking defend people. And the biggest part from the Mavs was they just got bigger. They just got bigger on the perimeter. They draft our mate, Greeny, Josh Green. They bring in Richo. Suddenly, you've got a couple of wing defenders above 6'6". To go with Dorial Finney-Smith, Maxi Kleber, Powell, Luka and co, Hardaway, Richard. Look, you've just now got a really fucking big team. Whereas before, there was a lot of Seth Curry guarding much, much bigger dudes for this Mavs team now. I mean, you think back to that playoff series they had against the Clippers, and every time you turned around, either Kawhi or Paul George was just fucking torching someone substantially smaller than him. Now, that's probably not as much of a problem. And the thing is, they're rangy and they can shoot, and there's just a lot more sort of variability to this Mavs roster, and it's exactly what you need to do around Luka, right? You need some lockdown perimeter defenders. You've got the Zinger. You hope that he's good for going into next year, the Extreme Zinger Meal.
Extreme Zinger Meal.
You're hoping. And I just really like their moves. Tyrell Terry, Josh Green, getting Richo in exchange for Seth Curry. Hopefully you get Powell back. Maxi Kleber, Dorial Finney-Smith, and hopefully the Extreme Zinger Meal comes back in January and away you go. But I love it. Good job. Good offseason, Mavs. Number two, it's a tie. What, Jimmy? It's only five things. You couldn't get away with not having a tie. No, look, the Sixers in Portland. I really, 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 really like their offseasons combined. The Sixers, just for the simple look, I could just say they'll hire Daryl Morey and I'm done. But they also added a fuck ton of shooting, which is exactly what you need around Embiid and Simo. They've got Seth the shit one Curry. They've got Danny Green. They bring in Rowdy. They draft Maxi. They've got Isaiah Joe. I love that. But also, just more importantly, I think, for the Sixers, they've got a direction in someone in charge who knows his fucking ass from his elbow, which for the Sixers and Sixers fans is just fucking massive. So wait, hang on a minute. We know what we're doing. Boom. Love it. And Portland, this was just solid moves all around. I feel like they were up and down at times, obviously, last year. Really, really thin on the wings. They bring back Hood. They bring back Mello. They've got Derek Jones Jr. He's fun. They can now roll out Dame, CJ, Gary Terrence, Trent Darby Jr. Covington was just an unbelievably perfect move, I feel like, for Portland to go with Nurk. He's just the ideal, switchy wing for them, right? Especially next to Dame and CJ. A dude who can play on the perimeter. He can also block a shot here and there. They bring back Kanter. Hopefully they have a healthy Zachy Cakes Adam Collins. No, Zachy Cakes Adam Levine. No, Zach Collins. There you go. The guy who looks like Allen. Yeah. Anyway, they've also, don't forget, still got Anthony Simons, Nasir Little, still got that youth. Then they might be able to turn into somebody else unless they too pop as well. So good job, Portland. I think it's just a nice little solid, Remember how we're in the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago? And then we had some injuries last year. It was a bit fucky. And now we've got a team again. I really like that for Portland. And number one. Oh, duh. Great duhs of history. That's right. The Lakers. Marc Gasol replacing JaVale McGee. That's a win. Montrezl Harrell replacing Dwight. Fuck off, Howard. there's a bit of a win. German Rondo and Dennis Schröder replacing actual Rondo. Who, not a bad shooter, weirdly enough, at this point of his career, but German Rondo actually can light it up. Wes Matthews replacing Avery Bradley or Danny Green. Look, Gasol looked cooked at times during the bubble. But to be fair, so were JaVale and Dwight. And Gasol, during not the bubble, was pretty not bad for the Raps. Better shooter than both of them, obviously. Better defender than both of them. So, basically, they got better on offense where they're already fucking really good. And probably stayed about the same on D with Gasol and Matthews, even though they lost Rondo, Bradley, Green, McGee, and Dwight. But they also kept KCP, which is pretty important to them, obviously, and Markieff Morris. So, God damn it, I don't want to say it, but fucking, yeah, the Lakers probably, I like that the most. They just solidified a core that was already really good because it won the fucking title and put some better dudes in there. Fucking hate it. But good on them. All right, what about the top five teams of off-seasons that I did not like? Let's run this again. It's top five season. All right, top five off-seasons I don't like. I mean, honorable mention's got to go to Golden State. Not down to anything they did, but because of fucking Clay's injury, obviously. That sucked. Poor Clay. But five, Sacramento. Look, great pickup in Halliburton at number 12 in the draft. Other than that, I think I fucking hated almost everything else they did aside from giving De'Aaron Fox as much money as they possibly could. Frank the Tank, really? I mean, yeah, it's fucking... Look, none of this is like actually on big deals, obviously. Frank the Tank, little big dog Glenn Robinson III, Hassan. But just giving Hassan Whiteside any money, he's coming home, is fucking dumb. But not matching Bogdan, I just didn't like that at all. And like the entire thing just kind of feels like tempeh, right? Like it looks fine. You're like, oh, that's all right. And then you eat it and you're like, that's fucking weird. That's how I view Sacramento's offseason. Ugh. The team just doesn't make sense in my brain right now. And look, I think they might be fine once you actually roll the ball out there, but not matching Bogdan and letting him go after you paid Buddy when you're kind of like, well, I feel like we should trade Buddy. He's not talking to our coach. We should probably trade this guy. Well, you better keep Bogdan then, and then you just let him go. What the fuck are you doing, you idiots? I don't know. Speaking of letting people go for nothing, Boston are at number 4. They lose Gordy Hayward after he opts out for nothing. Ah, well, dude, kid. It was a sign-and-trade, dude. So, $27.7 million trade exception, dude. And a second-rounder, kid. Yeah, fucking awesome. But they got Tristan Thompson, man. Yeah, when was the last time Tristan Thompson was actually good outside of 4 games a year that you're like, wow, that was a good game from Tristan Thompson? El Jefe Teague? Yeah, radical. If this was the 2015 fucking Hawks... But look, it's not even so much about the ins and outs, it's just the cumulative outs for the Celtics for getting nothing in return. Kyrie leaves, Horford leaves, Hayward leaves, you get fuck all in return. And you just can't lose assets at those prices for nothing time after time after time without improving your roster at the same time. Like, yeah, Tristan Thompson, Jeff Teague, fucking great. Veteran retreads. There's a reason why you can get them on the cheap. They're not going to put you over the top. And the simple fact is, like, they could have gotten a better fucking return from Indy for Gordon Hayward, but Danny Ainge kept pushing like, oh, but Tristan Thompson can do what Miles Turner can do. But it's like at half the price. Oh, yeah? Can Tristan Thompson shoot threes now? Is he also fucking young? Get the fuck out of here. And if you would have gotten like Dougie McBuckets as well, another shooter, you would have been laughing. And a pick. And then Danny Ainge is like, nah, we also want this. And you're like, fucking fuck off, Danny. Boom. Boston, I don't know what it is about this team. They just keep leading everybody down the garden path, their fans included, and people just fucking lap it up. It's like, oh, Kyrie was a head case. It was good to lose him for nothing. Really? Oh, Horford didn't want to be here, so it was good to lose him and like let the Sixers sign him for all that money. Oh, yeah, cool. What'd you get in return? How was your center rotation last year? Was Danny Tice worth it? How did he go against Bam Adebayo? Oh, yeah. Just checking. Oh, now Gordon Hayward. Oh, we didn't need him anyway. We've already got Brown and Tatum and Kemba. Hey, remember when the Heat threw a zone at you? Boston. And then everyone in Boston's like, fuck, what do we do with the zone, bro? And Gordon Hayward's like, oh, I've got it. They bring in Hayward. He's like, all right, fellas, we've got this. If you need that guy to come in and kick somebody's ass, like, Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter if he's your fourth option. He's fucking important. You let him go for nothing. So you lose. Detroit at number three. 60 mil for Jeremy Grant. The classic epitome of a dude you don't pay lots of money to. You can't go to him in crunch time. The shot's always a bit of hit or miss. He's actually not the world's greatest defender. He's not a star, and now you're paying him almost like one. And that is the fucking worst shit you can do in the NBA. That's the realm of the Andrew Wiggins, Otto Porter, the Harrison Barnes of the world. We're like, oh, but we should pay him anyway. No! For fucking what? You can get some dude like that at fucking half the price, year in, fucking year out, and then literally within 12 months, it's the deal that you regret. And it's not even thinking about the fact that you've already got Blake Griffin and signed another 8 centers to this fucking team, right? You got 25 mil for Mason Plumlee. Now you're paying $28 million a year to the Nuggets' backup front court, you fucking morons. $30 million a year if you include the dudes they had to stretch provision to pay them. And they signed Jahlil Okafor and draft Isaiah Stewart. They stretched Dwayne Dedman. But that's all well and good. They let Christian Wood go. He might be the best player out of all of them. And he signed for $14 million a year with Houston. What the fuck are you doing, Detroit? Look, they took a flyer on Dallin Wright, Josh Jackson, fine. The good draft in getting Killian Hayes and Sadiq Bey, even if they reach for Stewart. But look, do we trust Detroit to develop anyone? Like Dwayne Casey, the ball's now in your court. Let's see something from this fucking team. And while we're at it, let's pull one out from poor Blake Griffin. Jesus. Number one pick next year for the Detroit Basketball Pistons. Number two, the Charlotte Hornets. Oh, I did not like this. Look, last year they let Kemba Walker. You let him bounce just so you could pay Gordon Hayward $120 million for the next 4 years? So let me get this straight. You didn't want to pay Kemba Walker $30 million for 4 or 5 years last year, but now you want to pay Gordon Hayward $30 million a year for the next 4 years. What the fuck are you doing, Jordan? What are you doing? Look, to be honest, I don't actually hate the idea of putting some steady vets around your LaMelos, your PJ Hamilton Washingtons, the Miles Bridgeses of the world, the Devontae Grahams, Terry Rozier's, etc. But you didn't have to pay Gordon Hayward $30 million a year. Because not only that, though, the worst part is the Nick Batum part. The $27 million bucks remaining on his fucking thing, you stretch out over 3 years, you stretch that French fucking contract out $9 million a year to not play for you, which is dead money. So now suddenly you're out here paying Gordon Hayward $39 million a year on your cap. So not only have you made a dumb move in signing Gordy, but you've doubled down to make a double-decker shit sandwich by stretching Batum. That's just fucking dumb as fuck. What are you doing, Charlotte? Jesus. Dumb cunts. Tell you what. And finally, the least favorite offseason I saw was Houston. Both their superstars have asked out. Literally almost every other player's voiced just how pissed they are. They traded Covington for 2 firsts and gave one of those firsts, along with Trevor Reeser, to dump some salary to sign Christian Wood. Good contract, sure, but that's a very roundabout way of getting there. And also, Christian Wood already thinks he's better than Rusty Westbrook. It's like, oh, it's great being the second option here. I'm really excited. It's like, bro, you know there's another former MVP on this team. Or are you just tipping your hand that there's a trade for Rusty just like in a week or two? They lose Austin Rivers, which is hilarious. They sign Boogie. Look, so it's a win. They get rid of Austin Rivers. They sign Boogie. Hilarious. And then it comes out that your owner wanted to sign Jeff Van Gundy. Harden and Westbrook wanted Ty Lue. And the coach that you hired, Steven Silas, was the compromise. And then your two superstars tried to ask for trades anyway. So now you've got a team that's angry, sad, and literally fucking no one wants to be there. And more importantly, Harden wants out. Like, he's your entire franchise. He's been your entire franchise this decade. And he's like, this fucking sucks. I hate the new owner. I hate everybody. Fuck all yous. I want out. Because as soon as you try to get anything for him, you're not going to get a good return. Same for Westbrook. You've already traded a shit ton of picks for Westbrook anyway. You're going to be chasing after that for fucking years to come. You're up shit creek. We got Christian Wood and Boogie. Awesome. So now you've got Westbrook, Harden, PJ Tucker, Eric Gordon, Boogie, Daniel House, Ben McLemore, Christian Wood, Sterling Brown, Bruno Caboclo. Yeah, no. Just don't like it, bro. Gross. Right. They got straight killed. All right. Let's go do some yenars right after this.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Oh, a lot of yelling, tell you what. Anyway, yeah, nah time. They're brought to you by thedailyliquor.com from East Nine Brewing. If you're in Melbourne, don't have to worry about lockdown anymore, but it's fucking summer. So get them to bring you some beers. Seriously, it's the best. I fucking love it. They'll just drop off a couple of slabs. They cost you fuck all. Their booze on special is unreal. The prices are great. They deliver it. The best part is they've got wines. They've got cocktails as well as the beeros. So you don't have to miss out if you're not into the beers. Or even if you miss it after a cocktail or a beer that she likes, boom, you're laughing. And if you use the code STRAYA at thedailyliquor.com, and if you spend 20 wing whams, you get a bonus six pack in the new Dos Blocos X. The Dos X. I actually had a couple with my father-in-law yesterday. He's like, James, these are just great beers. I'm like, yes, that's right. They are. So you get a free sixer. As soon as you spend $20, you can use that code as much as you want, which is fucking great. So remember, it's from the Metro Melbourne area. Same day delivery before 1 o'clock. Get around thedailyliquor.com right now. Check on the delivery stuff as well. They might have gotten out to your place. They're always looking at trying to expand their delivery areas. Smash the code STRAYA, buy a sixer, buy a bottle of wine, buy some cocktails, get a sixer on your mate Jimmy. Love it. All right, yeah, nah time, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines and decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, does Boogie work in Houston, Jimmy? Yeah, nah, to be honest, I'm actually kind of like, yeah. Like, they've got John Lucas there, right? Which is good. I think that's handy. He's a great developmental guy who helps keep your fucking head on straight. You know, it's just good stuff. Steven Silas seems like a good dude. That's pretty cool. I'm very, very on board with Steven Silas. I think it'll be good for Boogie to be next to even James Harden. I think he's a pretty good sort of dude to hang out with. And, you know, basically, he's not going to be the world's greatest, loudest leader either. But at least he's not going to sit there and just fucking harangue Boogie, even though that might be what Boogie needs. But the entire idea is, look, I don't know if it'll help him keep his head on straight, but I just want Boogie to stay healthy and get back to hooping. And when you're on a minimum and you're in Houston where there's a bunch of turmoil already, but none of it's of your making, then we're fucking laughing. I fucking love Boogie. I love Rusty. It's hilarious that they're now on the same team, but I fucking love it. So good on you, Boogie. Let's see him get back to... look, he doesn't have to get back to all-star form. I just want him to be back and playing and not being hurt. You know? Anyway. Were all of those max extensions completely bang on and worthwhile, Jimmy? Yeah, nah. I mean, fucking... yeah, obviously. Of course, Diaz, Tatum, Mitchell, Spindles, Bam. You got to pay all of them. Even in the case of Bam, where... it's a tricky one where you're kind of like, well, it might hamper our ability to sign Giannis in about a year. But at the same time, like, fuck it. Like, Bam was one of the best players in the entire playoffs this year. And him getting hurt actually completely fucked, like, the Heat's chances, right? So, I mean, I think, like, you sign that guy. Like, you sign that guy and you just go, fuck it. We can find other ways to get cap space. It'll be okay. It might end up costing them Hero or Duncan Robinson or whatever. But as long as you got Bam, you can put him next to Giannis, you'd be fucking laughing. The Aussies, Greeny, Josh Green, Simo, Matty T, Matisse Thybulle, Jingles, Patty Thrills, Dante Exum, Bangers, Deli, Thon, Rowdy, Big Willie, Magne. Jimmy, is this going to be a banner year for the Aussies ahead? Yeah, nah. Look, yeah, especially for Bangers up there in Toronto. If he's walking into a starting gig, Toronto are going to fucking love him. And... especially if Rowdy makes the Sixers roster, starts banging in threes, they're going to fucking lose their shit about him. And hopefully Thon gets in there with the Cavs and we've got three Australians on there. That'd be fucking great. It'd be really nice if we got Son of Bruce in there as well. We'd be fucking cooking. The tricky part is, and this leads into the next one, does Jock Landau really end up on a team now, Jimmy? Yeah, nah. I mean, as I said last week, yeah, I reckon Rock'em Sock'em Jock'em ends up in the NBA this season. But at the moment, preseason, there's not actually many actual roster spots left. So I reckon he'll end up snagging he might end up getting a two-way or a non-guaranteed training camp deal in the next couple of days. If not, it'll be an in-season addition. But he will be there. Don't worry about it. Yeah, on ya. Look him late. Unpopular opinion of the day. I mean, the more I sit with it, the unpopular opinion is I kind of like the Clippers off-season more and more and more. I had him at 5. I feel like that should have been higher. Because looking at him, they might be my first blush sort of title favorites kind of vibe, you know? I kind of look at it and go, look, first year is the year you're trying to get it all together. Ty Lue comes in, goes, right, everyone get your fucking heads on straight. Let's kick some ass, take some names. They've still got Paul George. They've still got Kawhi. And now they've got Serge. Now they've got Kennard. Maybe they're a little bit better balanced. Maybe they don't have Trez losing his mind all the time. I don't know. That and Luka for MVP are some nice little looks in that I wouldn't mind having a quick squiz at. What about Outback Takehouse though, Jimmy? It's Monday at Outback and we're serving up cassowary casserole. That's right, I'm jumping on seek.com.au to find a new kitchen staff because that bird ripped through fucking all of them. Tastes delicious, but only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is, if we've learned anything from the NFL, it's that trying to play a fucking season in the middle of a goddamn pandemic, it's not a great idea. So after all the positive COVID test shutdown team after team after team, the team that's going to be left standing at the end with the NBA title is actually going to be the one, hilariously, with the asterisk next to their name. Only at Outback. It does seem fucking weird, doesn't it? We're at a point now where the COVID situation in the US is far fucking worse than it was at any fucking point prior to now, including when they went to the bubble and were under the most stringent of restrictions. And now they're just back hanging out in their home fucking spots, probably in their own personal bubbles and whatnot. But Jesus, the NFL has been trying to do this in the middle of the pandemic. You turn around each week, Ravens, 18 dudes on a list this week. The Niners missing a shit ton of dudes. The Broncos didn't have a quarterback. They still made them play. And that's a fucking NFL roster. That's 51 dudes and plus your practice squad. An extended practice squad at that too. So you can always just go, all right, next dude in. On a fucking NBA team, you got 15 roster spots with the extension this year. That'll be kind of handy, but Jesus. Like, say you lose a couple of players here and there, and then suddenly you might be down one or two contenders, you know? Like if Kawhi gets it from Uncle Dennis or something. And the Lakers somehow swam through it untouched. Because LeBron gave it all to them in the middle of last shutdown. You know what I'm saying? Ooh, there's a good Outback takeout. Anyway, let's do a quick Andrew Gaze Grey Mumba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. Andrew Gaze Grey Mumba. Outstanding achievement. Yes. Clap it up. There you go. It's the Andrew Gaze Grey Mumba Award for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence. And this week it goes to Andrew Gaze. That's right, Gazey. The Big W Gazey Grey Mumba Special Edition Ponies. Mine arrived in the mail today. They're amazing and they cost fuck all. Just unboxed them, chucked them on. They feel great. And they have definitely got like a dad basketball shoe vibe about it all. And that fits perfectly with me for the Gazey Grey Mumbas. I love it. But they're really fucking nice. And it was nice of Gazy to reply on Twitter saying they should be the special occasion shoes. Only the big games. Don't be wearing them out too quickly on the outdoor courts. So thanks to Andrew Gaze for replying on Twitter to my, you know, talking about the actual Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Big W Special Edition ponies. Because I really like the way they're constructed. They are comfy as fuck. They're all white. I love the box that they came in. It's just a fucking all-round great package. And look, this is not sponsored. I just fucking love these shoes. Like, Steph Curry got roasted for his dad's shoes. These are way fucking better than those. So, love the Big W Gazy Grey Mamba Special Editions. As mentioned, they're pretty cheap, and that's the entire idea behind the Gazy line, and it always has been, right? For him to provide affordable shoes. So, look, shoes shouldn't have to cost the world. They don't. These are awesome, so go get around them. Fucking love it. And I guess we could almost just about throw in the Jinglin' Joe Ingles, what is it, the Patty Mills Game Day Ball or Game Day Twitter check-in for Andrew Gaze. I've just, out there, the limited edition Gaze shoes now available at gaze.com.au. Only 100 pairs made in each size, 15% Black Friday special available. But they look great. I just really, 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 really like them. They kind of do feel like Kmart knockoff PGs. But better. They're fucking great. So get around them. They're beautiful. And you'll see me rocking them this summer. Don't worry about that. But as, look, I've got to take the great man's word itself, right? And they're the special edition. They're the special shoes. Only for the big games. That's what I'll be doing. All right, let's do a quick betting preview for... We've done this for the last couple of weeks. We're going to check in on the odds and everything for a bunch of the teams heading into this season. And we'll see who's moving, what people like. And especially with the end of all of the free agency or whatever, we've got a little bit of, I don't know, an idea of the NBA championship. We've got the Lakers still favored at 360. It's down from 450, which is fucking crazy. Clippers are now up to $7. They were at 550. So that's pretty crazy. Bucks are at 6. They were 650, so they've actually shortened, one of the few teams that has. Now remember, Golden State were $9.50 when we did this, and now they're 23 after losing Clay. Tough scenes there. What else? Who else? We've got the Boston... Sorry, Brooklyn are at 7, down from $10 to 1. Celtics are at 14. That is up from 11. Oh boy, they didn't like the Gordon Hayward disappearance. Miami are out to 18. They were 15. This is the team that won the Eastern Conference and just played in the finals. Toronto were at 18. They're now up to 20. Houston, oh geez, we're at 19. Now at 26 to 1. Oh, you don't like that one, do you? Denver, 19. They've shortened from 21. That's nice. Nice. Real nice. Who else? I mean, the Sixers, 21. I think they were already about there. No, they were 26, so they've actually shortened. That's good. That's what you get when you sign Rowdy. Utah are the same at 36. Pels, Phoenix, and Portland. 41 for Phoenix now. Portland at 51. Pels at 61. So, pretty interesting. Where are the Spurs? 151 to 1. Got to be the longest odds they've been in 30 years, isn't it? The rest of pretty much everybody else is, you know, over 100. So Indiana, 101 to 1, though. There were moments during that season, and if Victor Oladipo comes back at full strength, that was a dark horse, I think, for a lot of this year going through the Eastern Conference, Indiana. 101. Jesus, worth a tenner. But there you go. Those odds are brought to you by PlayUp Australia. Go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up, get around their NBA specials. We'll have a look at the, I believe, what is it, the actual awards next week and sort of talk those through and the other odds. So, yeah, should be fun. Should be lots of fun. That'll be probably even on this week's show because that's the end of this one. You little ripper. And we will hopefully be back Friday. There's not much going on, but Friday we'll start previewing the bloody season, I reckon. We'll look at some of those awards, ideally. And we might even do a new video, hopefully. This is the problem with the squid. It's a time clamp on you. So hopefully a new show and a new little video with a bit of off-season video banter. Love that. But hopefully, yeah, so back Friday. It should be great. Either way, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG, all over the socials. Look, something might pop off and we might do a show on Wednesday. Who knows? Just keep your ears and eyes peeled, bro. Get around NBAAustralia.com/shop. Go buy some merch. Go buy a nickname t-shirt. They're on sale for another couple of days. There's only a few left too. So go get one if you haven't. $25. Boom. Stubby holder, hoodie, whatever you want. Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, whatever app you want to use on your phone, your Android phone, whatever. It does help out heaps if you can rate and review. Come on, helps out, bro. TheDailyLiquor.com. Go there and use the code STRAYA and you get a free sixer of DOS X. Go smash Comfort Foods. That's foods with a Z.com.au. If you want to grab a burrito, some empanadas, some ice cream, it is fucking delicious. Their burritos are next level. So go get around that. Spend $50, get free delivery. Enter the code STRAY. You might get 10% off as well. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. They're up and running, out of time, is out now. Also, big thanks to Joshua Delaranza's Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Sex Jedi, Iowa, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J and Earth and Facey. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And we're going to close out today's show with a brand new Dally review of Jumanji 2, The Next Level. Because why the fuck not? All right, we'll catch you later, you dickheads. Wednesday or Friday, who knows? He's hoping. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And later, Hosen. Oi, 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 how the fuck are you? It's our mate Dally over here, just popping by for my latest pop culture views, eh? And look, hope yous are all doing all right back home in Australia. I reckon yous have all got that Rona under control, don't yous? Like, back home in Maribyrnong, they're all like, what the fuck is this all shit about, man? We've not even had any fucking problems, bro. What are we doing wearing masks and shit? Meanwhile, we're hanging out in fucking Cleveland trying our hardest not to get that Rona. The only Rona I get around is in a fucking tin, mate. I mean, everybody else in this fucking country is just like, fucked. It's like, just wear your mask, you fucking drongos. What are you doing, man? Anyway, but yeah, sick news for you is because I'm staying in fucking Cleveland. Woo! For another year. You little ripper. Don't have to move the missus or the squid, which is fucking great. And not only that, but our old mate Thorn is coming to stay. That's right, my old mate from Milwaukee, Thorn. He's now a Cleveland Cavalier and he's staying in the guest house with Donna. That's fucking sick as, eh? Oh, I reckon they might get up to some trouble. Yeah. But it's all right. Just chuck them both in the guest house. We'll set up some bunk beds for them. It's fucking great. It looks like they're having heaps of fun. There's lots of room there for Thon to practice karate and shit. And Don A's just sitting there with his Call of Duty and bongs and stuff. So, yeah, but they're already really good mates and stuff, you know. So it's like really handy because it means I can leave one of them with the kid and we go out and get on the tins and shit. The missus is like, fucking, yes, Charlie, this is awesome. I mean, she fucking hates having two blokes sleeping in the guest house all the time and my mates and shit. We're always drinking tins, but fucking whatever. It's all good. So, yeah, fucking sick. Got a full house of Aussies and we're back playing in a week or so. Training camp starts next week and I'm rip-rearing, ready to fucking go. I even dove after a fucking ball in yonks. I mean, I've been crossing up the little fella in the hallways and diving for his ball when he tries to throw it on the couch and shit, but it's not quite the same, you know. Just fucking love jumping in the stands. So, yeah. Now that the house is full, the missus has also put her fucking foot down. It's like, Donna and Thon can only watch PG-13 movies. And I'm like, what's fucking Paul George got to do with this? He's Jingles' mate. And she's like, nah, PG-13 family movies so the boys can watch them. And I'm like, fuck, they're not 13, Jesus. And I just want to watch fucking Fast and Furious movies with my mates. Just let us fucking watch Fast and Furious movies, would ya? And anyway, so we watched Jumanji 2. The Next Level. Sick part was, it had The Rock in it, and that was fucking, pretty fucking sweet, to be honest. Like, it's The Rock. He's my favourite actor ever. And, like, Kevin Hart, he's fucking funny as, and I love The Rock. But, to be honest, we'd had about 19 Corona tins out on the deck, Thon and Donna and I, and, like, I don't remember really much of it, beyond, like, The Rock looking at his muscles going, fucking, check this one out. And, like, a snake. Yeah, it was a bit fucked. But she loved it. So, look, it gets like a 16 out of 10 deli ones because we got off from her fucking case for like 2 hours. So go get around it. Tell me how much you loved it. And I'll be like, yeah, see, all my mates reckon it was pretty fucking sick. So there you go. All right, that's it for me for this week. Me, Donna, and Thon are going to go shoot some hoops in the fucking driveway. So I'll catch us next week for another Pop Culture View. Later, fuckos. Deli out. No, 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 no,